So tonight, we're in Exodus 9. We are still in the midst of the plagues. And so I have labeled this chapter, God Revealing Himself. God Revealing Himself. We left off last time. And God is promising to send more severe plagues, more personal plagues. And in so doing, in verse 15, Exodus chapter 9, verse 15, God says, "Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off, obliterated, wipe you off the face of the earth." In other words, God has said here that God could have begun with a plague that was so severe that the first plague basically exterminated the Egyptians. But that isn't what God did. Instead, God sent the plague with progressive intensity to teach the Egyptians, to give them multiple opportunities to see, number one, that he was God and that their oppression of his people was unjust and immoral and that they should quit. And so God is giving them a progressively intense experience of his judgment. And he says, "I could have started with the harshest of punishments. And if I had done that, I would have just wiped you off the face of the earth and your opportunity for repentance would be gone." He says, "I could have done that, but I didn't do that." In our own lives, that is often part of the story if we look back and we're honest. There have been occasions where God's judgment came to us. We suffered the consequences of our sin, but it wasn't so severe as to keep us from having an opportunity to repent. I will say, my experience is that this is the way most of the time God deals with people. He doesn't negate the possibility of some conviction or punishment of sin. He just doesn't make it so severe that after you have it, there's no opportunity for repentance. So by the time that we get to the death of the firstborn, there will have been 9 other plagues. And not only were there 9 other plagues, but there were also a couple of signs that didn't impact the Egyptians. You remember, he threw the staff down on the ground and it became a serpent. And you say, "Well, but the Egyptians imitated that. They threw their staffs down on the ground and they became serpents." Yeah, but Moses' staff / serpent ate all of the other serpents. So when he picked them up, their serpents and staffs consequently were gone. You remember he stuck his hand down inside of his cloak, and then when he pulled it out, it was leprous. You remember that? And then to show that God could not only create disease, but that he could heal it, he said, "Now put your hand back in there, and when you do and pull it back out, the leprosy's going to be gone." So God is the God who curses and blesses. God is the God who afflicts with disease, but he's also the God who heals from disease. Well, the point of this is God isn't just the God who sends punishment and who sends wrath. He is the God who sends punishment in hopes that people will see it for what it is and repent. Now here's what I call that. That's grace. Every opportunity to repent is grace. You don't deserve an opportunity to repent. Sometimes people say, so-and-so deserves a second chance. Okay, well, I understand what you're saying. You're saying it would be nice if so-and-so had a second chance. But the English words you're using are nonsense. Deserve and second chance don't go together. And to be clear, most of us are not making good on a second chance. Most of us are making good on a 100th chance or 1,000th chance. Some of us have made promises to God, I really mean it this time, only to have decided later on, yeah, I really did mean it. I just had the wrong strength, gifts, and abilities as the basis for my I mean it this time. Instead of trying harder, we've learned we need to depend harder. See, the Bible is not about how you can be your own Savior if you really mean it this time. If you really try hard this time, that's not what the message of the Bible is. The message of the Bible is that you need a Savior, and it can't be you. You're not good enough to fix everything that's wrong. You can't secure your own forgiveness. You can't change your own heart. You can't conquer death. You can't put yourself in right standing with God. All of that is something you need someone else to do who is morally superior to you, who is morally superior to me, who is much wiser and much more powerful. You need someone else. And the Bible, the whole question the Bible answers is, who is that? And the whole answer of the Bible is, it is Jesus. Verse 16, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, God is talking to Pharaoh, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared, may be proclaimed, that is, I may make my name known in all the earth. The New Living Translation says, but I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout all the earth. In other words, God said to Pharaoh, I'm actually sparing you. I'm giving you opportunities to repent. I could have eliminated that possibility. I could have wiped you off the face of the earth immediately, instantly, and frankly, the book of Exodus would have been much shorter, right? But I didn't do that. Instead, in the process of showing you who I am, I'm also showing the whole world who I am. I'm showing them I am powerful. I can send plague after plague after plague after plague, and I can afford you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent. And when I've decided enough is enough, enough is enough. And there won't be any veto power at that point. It'll simply be my discretion. And when I think it's time for the death angel to come, and for the death of the firstborn to take place, that's what's going to happen. Period. Verse number 17, God continues to explain. He says, as yet you exalt yourself, that is, you are acting arrogantly against my people, in that you will not let them go. The New Living Translation says, but you still lord it over my people and refuse to let them go. Sometimes people have mistakes about sin. They will say things that are silly, and they don't think about how silly it is. And sometimes people are too kind and we don't confront them. But here's effectively what some people say. They say something like this, if God didn't want me to do thus and such, he would have stopped me. Like, well, no. God has given you liberty, but he has given commands to tell you what things he wants you to do and what things he doesn't want you to do. The fact that he doesn't stop you is just real evidence of the fact that your liberty is actually real. You do actually get to do what it is that you want to do, and sometimes what you want to do and do isn't what God has commanded. Your liberty is real. God actually does let you do what you want to do, even if it's in opposition to Him. All right, let's try this one on for size. If God didn't want me to steal, He wouldn't have given me hands that I can use to steal with. How's that grab you? Here's the one that gets me into more trouble than the stealing. If God didn't want me to be with this person, He wouldn't have let me fall in love with them. Okay, wait a minute. Well, there's a whole bunch of scripture that talks about sex inside of marriage and sex not outside of marriage. And like, there's a whole bunch of material that the Bible has that deals with relationships, and you're acting like none of that exists. God does, for most people, He does want you to have a spouse. He does want you to have relations, and He does want you to have children. That is true. But He wants you to do it in that order, right? That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to find a spouse, then He wants you to have relations, and then He wants you to have children. Do we all get it right? No. That doesn't change the fact that this is what God wants. And to be clear, God has given us, you'll forgive me, this is a PG-13 comment, but you're all above 13. God has given us the equipment, and it is ready to use before we are married. But we are supposed to wait and use it after we are married. And the fact that God gave me the equipment, He didn't cut it off or do something to impede its use before I was married doesn't mean He wants me to use it before I'm married. Okay, everybody's looking at me like I've just shot at you. So we're going to move on, but you understand. Okay. The point of this is our liberty is real. We do have the capacity to choose. In significant ways and even in little ways, right? Yesterday, went somewhere, had someone say something to me, and felt like it was a little disrespectful. My ire started bubbling up. The older I get, the worse this is, by the way. Especially if somebody's about half my age and they're trying to tell me something that is about stupid or half-baked, I just really struggle. And boy, I felt it coming on. And I thought, nope, not today. I'm just going to walk away. And I did. Went home and bragged to my wife about how I walked away. I wanted to thump somebody, but I didn't do it. And I got a good preacher voice. I could have thumped her, and I could have thumped her in a room full of people, and I didn't do it. We're free. We have liberty. If God hadn't wanted me to tell her off, He wouldn't have given me a tongue. See how it works? That's not biblical logic. God gave me a tongue so I could bless her, not so I could curse her. I didn't quite get to the blessing part. I just didn't curse her. All right. Verse 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. The New Living Translation says, so tomorrow at this time I will send a hailstorm more devastating than any in all the history of Egypt. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall all die. All right, now, look, We've had hail and storms in Indiana, and they damage roofs and they damage cars, but now it takes a big piece of hail to kill a cow or kill a sheep. Like, it's got to be big. I mean, I don't want to be pelted with a dime-sized hail, but that's not going to kill anybody. But you get a piece of hail big as a baseball, now you get hit in the head with that, and you might be done. So here's what God says. This is what's coming. This is not going to be some minor hailstorm. If you don't get your animals in out of the field, you're going to find them laying in the field. Verse 20, he who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to their houses. The New Living Translation says, some of the Pharaoh's officials were afraid because of what the Lord had said. They quickly brought their servants and livestock in from the fields. You say, well, why wouldn't everybody do that? Okay, suppose it was harvest time and you have to do that with people. Do you want to lose a day of harvest and take a chance that the hail's going to destroy your crops? So you're tempted to send those people out there and send the animals out there that you need in order to harvest crops and get them in. But you're told, nope, you better not do it that way. You better get everything you want to save, all those animals and all those people, you better get them underneath shelter, because if they're out there in the field, they're going to perish. And interestingly enough, there are Pharaoh's officials and there are Egyptians who hear this, and they believe. And they go and get their animals and get their servants and bring them inside because they know this God means business. Well, that's a great place for us to stop. Perhaps we'll pick up there in verse 20 next time and celebrate that some listen to God and are benefits of hearing his word, and then others insist that no, what God said isn't going to come true, and they suffer the process. They suffer the consequences. The reality is this. God told both of those groups that he gave them the same message. One listened and was blessed, and the other didn't listen and was cursed. Which is to say, it really does matter how you respond to the word of God, doesn't it? If you believe it and take it to heart, boy, there are huge blessings that come as a consequence. If you ignore it, there are sometimes consequences to suffer. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to study your word tonight with some brothers and sisters. Lots of needs presented tonight. Don't want to neglect any of those. And we've spent some substantial time praying this evening. My heart's desire would be that you would meet us each time we study the word, and we would be persuaded as to your character, and we would take heed to your word, and we would respond favorably to you. And as a result, we would be blessed, and we would avoid the curses that come to those who do not listen to you. The truth is, Lord, I find myself most days finishing the day sometimes having listened to you and been blessed, and sometimes imagining that I could dispose of whatever it is you said to me with no consequence, and I find out, well, that isn't true. I do end up suffering when I don't listen to you. Even if you would spare me, the nature of the spiritual law of cause and effect takes shape and manifests itself. That's what makes our free choice, our free will, meaningful. Lord, thank you for our time together tonight in your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.